7 days and just a few hours ago, our sister Kathy went home to be with the Lord. She is now absent from us and absent from this body, but very present with the Lord. And we praise Him for the hope that we have in Christ. In that vein, I want to read a story to you from John chapter 11 in how Jesus dealt with death. In the city of Bethany were three of His friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And in the story, Lazarus dies. Hear God's word. Let Him speak to you as He has a message for you today and for me. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to Him saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." When Jesus heard this, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when He heard that he was sick, He stayed there 2 more days in the place where He was. Then after this, He said to His disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to Him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you there. Are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are not there 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." This He said, and after He had said this to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of this sleep." The disciples then said to Him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of His death, but they thought that He was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let's go to him." Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise on the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here, is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him the same thing her sister said, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came there also weeping with her, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled. And Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who had opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying also? So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? So they removed the stone, and then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always have heard me, but because of the people standing around here, so that they may believe that you sent me, you have heard me. When he'd said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. What did he say? Lazarus! Come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with cloth. And Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. And therefore many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what he had done believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. Lord, we pray now that you will speak to our hearts and bring your comfort to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. I read you this story because it shows play by play how Jesus dealt with the death of a loved one. In the story, you'll see that Jesus is mindful of what was going on with the people that he loved. He knew that Lazarus was sick, and then he found out that Lazarus had died. In fact, the whole story is based on his relationship with him, with Lazarus, with Mary, with Martha. And in fact, Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem. This is probably the place where Jesus stayed. And it was probably his Motel 6, if you will, when he came to Jerusalem. But I want you to see in the story how we're dealing with the death of our sister and what God will speak to us. Many times this week, I've heard many of you use the word relationship, community. We've seen how God is speaking to us through one another and using one another in each other's lives to build us up, to minister to us. Just like Jesus did there in person. You know, sometimes we think about Jesus being all God, but there's a part we forget. He was all man at the same time. Scripture says he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knew what Martha and Mary were going through. How many times must they have received ministry from Jesus? And even as he is at a distance away, he prophesies to his own disciples and he says, you know, this sickness is not unto death. Why do the things happen to us that happen to us? How many times have you asked God this week, why did this happen? How many times? Multiple times a day for me. And I'm going to keep asking. Because I believe God is the one you ask those questions to. believe it. If you can't ask Him, who can you ask? So I'm going to keep asking Him, Lord, why? Then Jesus talks about this this stumbling and why His disciples want to know, well, why are you going there now? They're just going to kill you. And here He makes a statement about light and darkness. And this is a theme for John, that He's the light of the world. And He's just going to, He more or less tells them, I'm going to reveal myself. I want to ask you this week, have you seen Jesus revealed this week? Have you seen Him in living color? Have you seen His power and His presence? Have you seen Him live out in us His name, Emmanuel? Yes, over and over and over again. We were talking about it at 9:30 today about what happened on Friday, 2 days ago. What happened? The sun came out, the power of God. And several of you, it wasn't lost on you. The weather was awful on Thursday, but several of you made that statement that it was a picture of God being with us. Jesus wept over His friend Lazarus. Now, we say that, well, why would Jesus weep? And He knows that He's going to raise him from the dead. He knows He's going to do that. But because these are His family members. He is identifying with them. He is with them, just like He's with us right now. Now, He comes into town. Martha comes out to meet Him with a question, and Martha's the doer. Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have this to deal with. And she's wondering, she's asking the question, Lord, you see, in this story, there are why questions. Why did you wait? Why'd you wait 2 days? Now, in this story, we get to find out why he waited. Why did he wait? Because the story was all about the glory of God. That's what our lives are supposed to be about, the glory of God Himself. So he waited. And then Martha goes on to give him this, well, Lord, I believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. That lives and believes in me will live. She said, oh, I sign up for all that. You see, when somebody dies that's very close to us, you know, it really tests our theology, doesn't it? It tests what we say we believe. And she's saying all the right stuff. That's coming out of her mind, but what's coming out of her heart? Why? Over and over again. And then Mary comes out. And they bring Mary out. And Mary is, she was back at the house. She had all the mourners with her. They had professional mourners then. And they come out. And even though Martha and Mary are wired differently, they are the exact, they are polar opposites in their personality, Mary comes out with the same question. So, you know, no matter what angle we come from in life, there's a commonality about us when it comes to death. She wants to know why too. Lord, where have you been? You know, the scripture says, when she said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And then it says, and Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Do you think he's been that same way this week? You think that's how he is right now? Do you think he identifies with us? You see, we don't serve a God who is distant. We serve a God who sent His unique one and only Son, who became flesh, who knows just how we feel. and this story shows it. He's walking with us. Have you felt His presence this week? Have you felt the power of God? Have you felt Him moving there, ready to catch us when we fall? His arms out, outstanding. Well, then they go to the tomb. And they get to the tomb. And it happens again. Jesus is moved again. And it says Jesus wept. He's crying over His friend. He's crying over the death of His friend. These are people that he's close with. We always want to think of Jesus in this religious sense and all that, and that's all fine. That's okay. But these were real friends of His. These were people He spent time with. And the pain and suffering of what they were going through with their loss, it touched Him deep within His heart. And then He prays this prayer as He's speaking to His Father. Because the whole story is not about whether or not Lazarus lives physically or dies. That's not what the story is about. The story is about the glory of God and that God was in control. Because you know what happened? Years later, Lazarus would die again. So what was the big point? The big point is that Jesus is Lord over life and over death, and that He has prepared a place for those who die. Because not only is He with us in this life, He is with us forever. And when He prays this prayer, He speaks to the Father, and He says, Father, I want them to see the truth here. I want them to see Your glory. What's that quote we use from Waking the Dead? The glory of God is what? Is man fully alive. Lazarus was not fully alive because he was brought back physically. He was fully alive because he had a relationship with the Lord that no circumstance could take away. And then Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come forth. But note that it's in two stages. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes out of the grave and he's got the bindings, the grave claws on him. And he says, unbind him. So you think of it. It's a beautiful picture here of our initial salvation experience and then how God wants us to grow in Him. Yes, He makes us alive, but then He wants us to live like we're alive, to act like we're alive, to be unbound from all the stuff that speaks of death. Thursday, when we sang Days of Elijah, what did you feel? Did you feel defeat? I felt like a victory march, that we were celebrating something, that Kathy had gone home. She was home with the Lord, relieved from the suffering of this life. That's what's at work here. Now, a couple of things I want to say to you. Whatever happens in our lives from this story, we see it very clearly. Jesus is always mindful of what's going on in our lives because He cares. He cares about us. In fact, the Father cared about us so much that that's why He launched this rescue mission called salvation, as that we're going to celebrate that we celebrate every Sunday, but especially celebrate on Resurrection Sunday as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It was all about that, about Him, about being in relationship with Him. A second thing, Jesus is in relationship with us. Real relationship. Well, what does that mean? It means He's involved in our lives. It means He cares about us. It means He knows what's happening with us. He knows how we feel. It means that He has been with us. Just like with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, He'd been in their home. He'd been together. I want to ask you this week, as a body of Jesus, this week, after this, what we would call, humanly speaking, a cataclysmic experience. I mean, in many ways, we're still in shock. To wrap your mind around this is almost impossible of Kathy's death. But what did it make you want to do? It made me want to draw in to Jesus and draw in with Jesus' people. I couldn't get enough of you to be there, to share stories. When one is weeping, the other is comforting. When the one who is comforting here begins to weep, then someone else comforts. And you see how that body life works. It is real. John 11 is all about Jesus coming to where the people are. We don't serve a God who is distant, who says, if you want to serve me, you've got to come to a special city. You've got to come to this special place. He's a God who comes to where we are. Over the next days and weeks and months to come, we can depend on Him. He'll come right where we are. Life will happen. The people that we live and work with, our neighbors, our friends, our work associates, our physical family, they're going to be looking at our lives and they're going to wonder. They're going to be looking for the reason of the hope that we have. And we're not going to be fake with them. We're going to say it hurts. And I don't understand why. I just want to right now give you permission to say that. If you feel like you need somebody to give you permission, then let me just say it. You got permission to say, I don't understand, but God is even bigger than the stuff I don't understand. Job gets all the way to the end of his life. You read 42 chapters of Job. He gets all the way to the end of his life. At the end, he dies, never knowing why. But what did he know? Who? He knew who was with him. And the who part of the story is Jesus. And the who part of the physical connection, I can feel the touch of Jesus. Can't you, Bernie? Because He's with us. He's in us. When it says He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, He's using our hands and our feet. You know that food that came into Dane's house this week? Jesus was toting that food in there. He's just using our body. The hugs that you receive, it's the power of God. It's bigger than what we can explain or wrap our minds around. You see, that's what community is about. That's what being part of the body of Jesus. We are His living, breathing body on this earth. Jesus Jesus was moved by their grief in the story. Scripture says he was deeply moved. Do you think he's any less moved by our grief? Do you think he any less shows up for us than he showed up for Mary and Martha? No. He is with us. He's here right now. He's speaking and he's ministering to us. And you know what? In the story, Martha kept stumbling over her theology. But what does Jesus keep doing? He keeps bringing her back to himself. She was trying to let religion get in there and mix her up. But each time she did that, here's Jesus right in her face with a hug, with his presence. I don't know what screwed up things you learned coming up in church about death and about all of that, but I want you to know you can put all that at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, today I need you. Finally, Jesus wants us to be free. He said, free Lazarus. Free in your prayers. I just want to say this to you. Don't get all religious with your prayers about this. Just come before God and tell Him how you feel. He can take it. But here's the deal. Then listen to what He has to say to you. Let Him do His thing. And in the middle of it, just like Jesus did with Martha and Mary, just like He did with His disciples, He prophesied to His disciples, hey, you're going to see the glory of God. You know what melts my grief is when I can get connected with the Lord and His glory. And I can unload my grief and say, Lord, I'm hurting inside. That's why we talk about worship, is open hands. You're opening up and you're saying, here, Lord, I'm giving you this grief. And He comes and His presence is enough. He's with us right now. In just a moment, we're going to open the altar. And I want to say to you, over the next days, today, this week, if you want to talk to somebody, let us know. We'll do the best that we can to talk and pray. We may have to, just spread the wealth like we've been doing, like God's already been doing as He's been using one another in each other's lives. But don't sit on it. Don't let it fester. Let somebody pray with you. Voice it out to God. Whatever it is that's on your heart. And if you're angry, you can say that. If you're just disappointed in your soul, you can say that. If you just don't know how to feel, you just know you feel wounded, say that. Be that. But open the door and let Jesus come. That's what Mary and Martha did. Jesus arrived. And He came with hope and healing and help. He'll come for you today. Now, one practical thing I want to say to you. For Dane and for Cameron, Pat and Joe, family, maybe you want to say something. You don't have to have the words. Sometimes it's just a hug. Say whatever God's put on your heart. Or write them a note. Hand them a note. When you know, this is what I want to say. That's okay too. I'm saying, use all the means that God has put at your disposal. Share what's on your heart. and let God do what he wants to do in our lives. In a few weeks, on Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be having a 9, 10, 11 o'clock service. Services out at the Hub. Not going to, as Stephen said, we're not going to meet here on that Sunday. Who do you reckon would have been in the middle of all that? Preparing? Just like she's done all the almost 27 years I've known her. We've walked together, we've cried together, we've prayed together, we've laughed together, we've done a lot of laughing together. So, who's going to fill the gap? Who's going to step up to the plate? Because if God is in charge, and he is, and he's called her home, and he did, nothing happens that, believe the sovereignty of God, that he took her home. I don't understand 52 years. I don't understand that, but he's God. And so there's a bigger plan at work here. So that must mean there's an empty place there. Who's going to fill it? What greater way to ask God to come than to open yourself and say, God, use me as you will. And he will. He'll be with you. Pastors will be here to pray with you today. If you want to come, if you want to just spend some time at the altar. Kathy's life was all about what? Service. Always. Always. Service. And that service was for whom? Jesus. As his proxy in our lives. So many times. And we thank God for her life. And now, we thank God for how he's going to use her testimony from this point on, in and through each one of us. It's a testimony of the family of God. Let's pray. Lord, now as we open the altar, we ask you to come. Come and minister to our need right now. Come, Lord. Bring your peace. Bring your hope. Bring your help. Right now, we need you. The altar is open. Sweet. Look this way for just a minute. We're going to continue. Y'all can come on. You see one of those cards when you came in. Maybe you want to write your prayer request on there. Maybe you want to put on there, you know, I'd really like to talk to somebody. Write that on that card. Let us know. Maybe, or talk to us on the way out today. There are no stupid questions. The only stupid question is the one you don't ask. Does that mean we're going to have answers to all questions? No, we're going to point you to the one who does have answers. And we'll pray for his presence to come. For some of you sitting here, you're thinking about the loss of Kathy has brought up some things from your past. Some loss you've had before. I want you to know I'm right there with you. Kathy's buried on the same day my mother is buried. This is the same week that my brother-in-law passed away. All this week, it's on my mind. I'm saying to you, I'm broken too. and my heart aches. And I don't know what to say some days. I don't know how to put it in words. What's in my heart, so... I'm trying my best to say it to the Lord and ask Him to come, speak to me. For us to be for Dane, for Cameron, Pat Joe, the whole family, who we're supposed to be. And we're not going to get it right all the time. We're human. It's messy. It's messy. That side of the building is a good example. It's a chocolate mess over there. But you know what I'm choosing to look at when I see it? I think about all the people who came in those cars who were here together to pray, to lift up one another. That's what I'm choosing. I'm making that choice. I'm choosing to let that be a memorial to the presence of people gathering. And isn't it interesting, all the people, I think everybody that ever came through the Sycamore Church was either here or contacted us on Facebook. I mean, from all over the world. I mean, people traveled here. I mean, one guy drove here from Iowa to be here for the funeral. So, God is at work. Let's don't short circuit what He's trying to do in our lives. Okay. We want to get those cards from you. There's a basket in the back, I think. And the basket's up here, and we'll receive that. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring it now.